Mishnah Yomis for Wednesday, the sixth day of Elul, Tavshin Pei Gimel, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches. We talked in the previous Mishnah about Kavona, having in mind to be Yotza. And now Mishnah talks about Agadata, gives a bit of Medrash to explain how important Kavona is. Pasuk, which is stated in the War of Amalek with the Jewish people, in Parshas Beshalach, it says that as long as Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were up, the Jewish people were winning the war. The Mishnah asks, "V'chi yadav shel Moshe oisos milchama oishobes milchama?" Were the hands of Moshe actually fighting Amalek or breaking his strength? That every time his hands were up, the Yidden were winning. When their hands were down, they're losing. What does that mean? Ela lo malacha, the pasuk's really telling you. Kolzman shehoy Yisrael mustaklim klape meila. As long as the Jewish people had their eyes focused up, turning towards Hashem, umeshabdin eslibom labimish b'shamayim, and putting their hearts, in bonding their hearts toward God, hoy muskabrim, then they would win. Bim lav, and if not, hoy noflin, they would fall. And the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu's hands being up in the air was a sign to the Jewish people, look upwards, put your hearts and your minds in Hashem. Kayetza b'dover ataymer, similarly you find in the story where the Jewish people sent snakes to attack them, where Hashem sent snakes to attack the Jewish people because they complained, and they prayed to Moshe, quick, take away the snakes. And Hashem instructed Moshe to make a serpent. And we find there, God told Moshe, make for yourself a serpent, put it upon a bowl, a pole, or a banner. Anyone who was bitten by the snakes would look at it and he would live. And once again, the Mishnah asks, what would the snake give a person death or make a person alive? But again, it was a hint, it was a symbol. Bizman she Yisrael mestaklin kapemaila umeshabdin eslibam labim shebashamayim, that as long as the Jewish people would be lifting up their eyes towards Hashem and bonding their hearts toward their Father in heaven, then they would be healed. Hoy mesrapim. Bim lav, and if not, hoy minimokim, they would pine away. So we see how important the kavon of the heart is. Now, at this point, the Mishnah comes back to discuss about what person or which people can be moitzi other people when it comes to shofar. Who can blow for someone else's shofar? And it's telling us a famous rule that a person can only do the mitzvah for someone else if he himself has that chiyuv, has that obligation. Cheresh, a person who is deaf and mute, deaf and dumb. Shoita, person who is retarded. He does things, you can tell he's not of sound mind. Vekotan, a person who's under bar mitzvah. All these people are not chayiv in the mitzvah of shofar, and therefore, ein moitzin as the rabbi midechavosan. They cannot blow shofar for the public to be moitzi them, to do the mitzvah for them. Some say that even though normally cheresh means deaf and mute, some say that here it could even mean just someone who is deaf, and even if they're not mute, even if they can speak. Why? Because since the Ikar Mitzvah by Shofar is Lishmoa Kol Shofar, to hear the voice of the Shofar, if he can't hear, that would already be enough to make him potter. So some say cheresh here means even just deaf, just only deaf, and even though they can speak, they can't be mute to the others. Zerklal. Kol she'enem chuy b'dover, enem moitzis rab nechavosan. Says the Mishnah at the end, this is the rule. Anyone who is not obligated in a matter cannot do the mitzvah of someone else. Now that means anyone who has no mitzvah at all, because his body, he himself, there's no mitzvah on his body. For example, he's a cheresh, shoyt of a cotton, as we mentioned before. But if he is in the category of being, he's classified as being a member of a group that is chayv in the mitzvah. It just so happens that he's already been yotze. Let's say he's already heard shofar, but he wants to now blow shofar for someone else. Because that's no problem. You can do that. And he can also make brachas for other people, where the other people are chayv to make that bracha, even though he's already been yotzer. So, for example, if he comes to Kiddush, he's already heard Kiddush, he can make the bracha of Kiddush to someone else. Why? Because of Arvus. Every Jew is responsible for someone else, a Ravim Zalazah. However, when it comes to things like a bracha on an apple, or brichas ananin, not brachas of a mitzvah. For example, if a person is having an apple and he doesn't know the bracha of Eperades, if someone knows the bracha, but he's not eating an apple, he cannot say the bracha for someone else. Why? Because that's not a bracha of the mitzvah. Who says the other person has to eat the apple? There's no mitzvah to eat the apple. It's just if you eat it, then you have a bracha. So the only time a person could be motza someone else then is if he himself partakes of the apple, he can make Eperades and motza the other fellow, but otherwise he can't. Perek Dalad, Mishnah Aleph. Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos. If Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah fell out on a Shabbos, V'Mikdash Ha'Yitokin Avlo B'Amdina, they would blow the shofar still in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's how Rashi learns. Not outside the Beis HaMikdash, not in Yerushalayim, not outside Yerushalayim, doesn't matter. Only in the Mikdash. Rambam learns that Mikdash here means the entire Yerushalayim as well. So according to him, the Mishnah is telling us that they would blow shofar on Shabbos anywhere in Yerushalayim, but not in the Medina, not other gas cities. Now, what's the reason for this? The Gemara explains that really blowing a shofar is not a malacha. You're not doing a malacha min HaTorah. Min HaTorah, you could blow the shofar on Shabbos. The Chachomim made a gzera. They didn't want it to be done on Shabbos. Why? Because since everyone is chayv to hear the shofar, but not everyone is boki, not everyone is experienced in blowing it. So they were worried that a person might take the shofar in his hand and go to an experienced person, a boki, to learn how to blow it, and he will be carrying it four amas in the Shusar Abim. And that you can't do. You can't carry a shofar in the public domain. Therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, they said, yes, we will let you blow shofar even on Shabbos. Because gezeiros, things that were made because of decrees, of the rabbinic decrees, they didn't worry about that in the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't make those decrees in the temple area. Or according to the Rambam, in the Holy Yerushalayim, they wouldn't have made that decree. Because in Yerushalayim, you had the highest court in the land, based on HaGadol, and they would have been people warning the people not to carry the shofar. Everywhere else, outside Yerushalayim, no, you can't blow the shofar. So this was during the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash. Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Sheyehu Tokin B'chol Mokim Sheyesh Beis Din. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, now we will allow it to be blown anywhere where there is a Beis Din. What does Beis Din mean? Beis Din means, according to Rashi, a Sanhedrin of 23 Dayanim. Even if they're not permanently based there, they just happen to be based there, they're not always there in that place. As long as there's Sanhedrin there you can blow the shofar on the Yom Tov Shechol Rosh Hashanah falls on the Shabbos. Others say that when it says based in, it means even a based in of three mumchim, three expert judges. Now, what's the reason for that? The reason for that is because based in has risen, based in are careful and diligent and people will, who blow the shofar there by the Beis Din will be warned not to carry it in the shofar in the Shusar Abim. This is the opinion of the Tanakhama, who holds that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, any place there's a Beis Din, either Sanhedrin of 23 or 3 Mumchin, according to Rashi or Ran, depending how you learn, but outside there, but anywhere else they can't blow. Omer Rabbi Loza says, no. He says, Lo hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai elo b'yavin bilvad. He says that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana, that you can blow shofar on Shabbos after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that was only in Yavne, which was the seat of the Sanhedrin HaGadola, of the great Sanhedrin, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And, same thing would apply, any other city where the Sanhedrin Gedola went into Golos. As long as there's a Sanhedrin HaGadol in that place, then you can blow the shofar, but not in any other Beis Din. And now comes the third opinion. Amru Lohi, the Chachamim responded back to Rabbi Lazar, and they said, Echod Yavne ve'echod kol mokem sheish be'Beis Din. Whether it's Yavne, whether it's any place there's a Beis Din, which is similar to Yavne, i.e., it's Kavua, It's a based in kavod of 23 dayanim. It's a permanent based in. It's not a temporary based in. Then you can blow shofar as well. And this is the difference between the Tanakama and the Chachamim. The Tanakama was the most lenient. He held that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai allowed it in any city, wherever there was a based in, even if it's not kavod, even if it was just temporarily then. Whereas according to the Chachamim in Avraham Elazar, the Chachamim answer Elazar, they say, doesn't have to be a Sanhedrin Gdola, doesn't have to be Yavne, but it does have to be a based in Kavua, a fixed based in of 23 Dionim. And even in a place where there is a based in Kavua, they can only blow it when they are in front of the based in. Out of the based in, no, cannot do it if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos.